We bring in Joe Fisher, voice of the Commodores, and our Ferguson Heating and Cooling Hotline. And Joe, it's amazing what a difference a week and a half can make in this league. I mean, you think back to when Vanderbilt went into that game at South Carolina. They're ranked in the top 10. Kentucky's ranked in the top 10. Two losses later for each team, neither team is to be found in the rankings.
Well, the league's been blown up, you know, this year with all these wins. And as we were talking the other day, I think LSU's probably the only team left standing that has any kind of shot at making it to a national championship game, and they may even need a little bit of help along the way. But, you know, Florida now with three losses, and, you know, South Carolina puts together back-to-back losses, and here's Vanderbilt at 2-3 in the league, and, you know, not out of the realm of possibility to reach the upper division or upper half of the division with a couple of wins. It's just been, it's a crazy year. And the other thing it's done, though, is at the beginning of this year, you remember you'd see games on the schedule and go, okay, well, that's probably not going to be much of a game, and that's probably not going to be much of a game. Nobody says that about any game anymore. It just, you know, look at Auburn and Ole Miss this last week. You know, Ole Miss figured to be a heavy underdog, made it a tough game for Auburn. They went at 17-3. So it's just the nature of the SEC this year.
Joe, on a day where Cleveland Indians relief pitcher Jensen Lewis was part of the coin toss, it was a relief quarterback for Vanderbilt that did the job. Chris Nixon, an experienced player who, looked like the Maytag repairman over on the south over the sideline of South Carolina, came in and did a great job, I thought, Saturday, doing just enough to help Vanderbilt put away the win there in the second half.
Yeah, or as the referee said, Jason Lewis.
Yeah, Jason Lewis.
Out there but you know, you're right. Chris came in, and they tried, if you remember, they tried in the package to get him to throw the ball a couple of times to see how his shoulder feels. But I think Chris has kind of reached a point this year where when he runs the football, he gets banged around some, that shoulder becomes a little more painful, and it makes it more difficult for him to throw. I guess he threw one ball, and that was the one in the end zone that interference was called. But he just came in and methodically made the reads, ran the option, made the right decisions. And it's interesting, Vanderbilt rushed for 290 yards, nobody with 100 individually. You know, they just kind of spread it out among five or six different people and were very effective. And then, you know, that's the most they've had rushing since, 95 or something like that in a game. So great performance by them. And I think it was nice to see Chris come in there in that role, because so many people had asked us, well, what's he, you know, how's he taking this? How's he dealing with this? And the answer was he was disappointed, but he wasn't, you know, not practicing. He wasn't not focusing, because he always knew he could be one play away from being right back in there, which is exactly what happened.
The other problem is, though, is that, coming this Saturday, if Mackenzie Adams can't play, everybody knows Chris Nixon really can't throw the ball. His shoulder's injured. He can run, but he can't throw. So do they bring Kovalchuk in for passing downs, or how do they do it?
I think from here on, until this thing is settled and everybody's, you know, totally healthy, all three of those guys have to be ready. I think there'll be packages for all three of those guys. That being said, Mackenzie, I haven't talked to them yet today, but I anticipate that they think he'll play and be fine. I would also say that it's probably one of those questions that you won't get a definitive answer on, because they want Urban Meyer to have to prepare for three quarterbacks, and so which is smart, which is the way it should be played. But, you know, hopefully he's just sore. They'll find out more with him as the week goes on.
Joe, one other thing before we go, and yeah, if you're a Vanderbilt fan and you're hoping for that sixth win, bear in mind, right now, there are 11 teams in the SEC that could be bowl eligible. As crazy as that sounds, it might take seven.
Yep.
And that's sort of the ugly fact that looms ahead, maybe, for some six-team winners in the SEC.
Yeah, we were talking about that. We were talking about that a couple of weeks ago. I think on the road trip, maybe to South Carolina, we were talking about it, guys, on the trip, that, you know, getting to six doesn't get you in the way this conference is laid out now. And you're right, it could be 10 or even 11 that get there, and somebody's going to be left out. Now, that being said, Vanderbilt, even if they just get to six, and certainly the players would tell you that's not their goal. Their goal is much more than six. But there is a compelling case to be made, you know, for a bowl to give them, you know, an invitation, simply because it's been 25 years. So that there are, and you have a marquee win on your schedule already, and you're going to get another good one if you get the sixth one, whoever that is that you play. So there'll be a compelling argument to be made, but the best thing to do to take care of it is to go ahead and get seven. There's no question.
Or nine.
Nine would be good.
Mm-hmm.
There was a bowl representative in the press box this week.
And there have been the last few weeks.
Yeah, but it was interesting. I was trying to think back the last time we had a bowl representative in our press box for a non-conference game, you know, on week eight. So it's a good thing to see. There is interest, and now if they can come up with a way to get six or seven or more, we'll see where we go.
Coach's show coming up tonight.
7 o'clock. We'll be there. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, Joe.
All right.